This is The Real Deal with Orbert Davis on 90.9 FM WDCB. And it's time for another segment of Sitting In, where I get the pleasure of talking to some amazing friends about the music, about their lives, and I get to share it with you. So come sit in with us. Right now, I have my good friend Frank Alkire from Downbeat Magazine. Right here. And I was telling Frank earlier, we started talking before we went live, that Downbeat Magazine saved my life and got me into a lot of trouble.
That's right.
As a high school student, civics class, I didn't really pay much attention. Sorry, Mr. Buchholz, I know you're listening. But but I would have my textbook propped up with Downbeat in the middle. And I just, month to month, I read it from cover to cover. It was my source for jazz. So thank you. And you've been with Downbeat for how many years, Frank?
30 years.
So you were there.
And those kind of words, that's what makes me so proud to be part of it. I did an interview with Doc Severinsen one time.
Wow.
And the interview started out, he goes, I'm about to ask the first question, he goes, stop. I just want to let you know, grew up in Washington, like a small town in Washington State. And he goes, there was nothing around. I had a subscription to Downbeat Magazine. I knew the day that it was coming in.
That's
and
right.
I would go to school in the morning. It would be lunchtime. I'd race to the post office and get my Downbeat. And he goes, do you think I went back to school that day?
Oh, man. Yeah, see, got us all in trouble. but what a historic and present source of not only information, but inspiration.
Yeah, that's the goal. Yeah. You know, that's the goal of a good magazine in general, is to educate, inspire, to inform, and to give people the news of the day of what's going on. And that's what we've done since 1934 in some way, shape, or form.
That's amazing.
Is talk about the news of the day, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Wow. And a lot of careers have just been chronologued from Downbeat Magazine.
Yeah, you know, one of the coolest projects I've ever done is we put together a book of all the things we wrote about Miles Davis, right?
Yeah.
That's terrific, fun project to do. And he, it starts out, but it's like, you know, the first interview, you've got Miles Davis talking about how he literally could count on one hand the number of gigs that he had in the previous year.
Wow.
One hand. And you're just like, oh, that's just amazing. And he was so polite and he was so reverent to the interview. You know, I can't remember who did the interview, but he was so reverent. He was so polite. And then you see progressively as his personality, his persona, the Miles that we came to know, came into shape.
Yeah.
But the same was true with like all the reviews and things. In the beginning, there were lukewarm reviews and all that. But to see that, see how that came together.
Exactly.
It was amazing, amazing. Wow. Dave Brubeck. When we were at the Gen Conference this year, the Brubeck kids, they've got a booth here. They're really promoting their father's name. Dave Brubeck was written about and wrote for Downbeat more than any other artist in the history.
Wow.
There was just so much material.
Yeah.
And for one of our anniversaries, the 75th anniversary issue, our editor at the time, Jason Kuransky, you probably know Jason.
Oh, of course.
But Jason sent all that material to Dave and then went out and interviewed him to get his comment on how we commented on him.
Oh.
And it was one of the most terrific, insightful little stories that you'll ever see.
Yeah.
Because here you've got a man late in his career, later in his life, looking back on how he was documented.
Right.
Which was really an interesting exercise.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So in what position did you start?
I started as the editorial director. I'm a journalist by trade.
Oh.
So I started as the editorial director. Uh-huh. That was in 1989. And about 3-4 years later, they added the title of associate publisher because I stuck my nose into things I shouldn't have stuck my nose into. Like, why aren't we selling more ads? Why do we have better circulation? Why do we have, well, that went so well, they later on made me the publisher and
So were you fresh out of college? Were you
No. That, thank you for saying that though. I was 29 years old when I got the job.
Okay.
I'd been through a few journalism jobs. I worked in New York City, lived in New York City, and I was and did that route. Downbeat had never had an editorial director before. I'd never been one before.
Right, right.
And thank goodness that they didn't know any better, because they'd have probably fired me 3 or 4 times before I've got my sea legs, you know. So,
right.
But yeah, they would always just give me enough rope. And then when I would misuse the rope, they'd say, just don't do that again. And we'd move on. And a lot of mistakes. You know, we learn this job by making a lot of good mistakes.
Just like jazz.
Yeah.
So, well, I was going to say, in case our listeners don't know, what does a publisher do? That's for me.
Well, I think it's different in a lot of places. I'm an odd duck, which is really a tribute to the Maher family who owns Downbeat. Mm-hmm. They always believe that good editorial is going to make a good magazine, which is going to mean good sales for their magazine. Sure. But most places, your publisher is your lead sales guy. And in some way, shape, or form, I am.
Yeah.
You know, I go in, I say hi, I shake hands, I know everybody, you know, that kind of thing.
Sure.
But I'm also in the weeds. I still love to write. I'll write a story or two
of course,
a year.
Yeah.
I'll edit stories. I'll, you know, working on production flow. But your job is to be the general manager of this magazine. You've got all the disparate pieces that are coming in. An editorial team, a sales team, a circulation team, a marketing team.
Yeah.
And so my job is to manage all of that.
Yeah. And I think your longevity has to be because you love the music as well.
That's where it came from.
Yeah. You know, that's amazing.
I literally, when I say I got the job at 29, I remember shortly after getting, I go, why did I waste my 20s? But I grew up, I was a farm kid from Ohio. I didn't know how to get into the music business. It was how do you do that? You know,
right,
that was like something far away and shiny and I wish I could.
Yeah.
But kind of came together.
Okay. And I'm not even sure that at least our Chicago listeners know that Downbeat magazine has been based in Elmhurst, Illinois.
Yeah, yeah. It started in Chicago, 1934.
Wow.
It was started by an insurance salesman who was selling life insurance policies to the traveling big bands coming through. He's also a saxophone player. Yeah. And it literally, when Benny Goodman became an overnight success in 1935, so did Downbeat Magazine. We were the hometown magazine, and the hometown hero was now a star. So we had the inside track on all that stuff. That's where it all began.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the early days, it was just listings of who's playing where and who was in which band. And, you know, it was really just a lot of lists and a lot of, like, where people are and things like that.
Yeah.
But then it started to really gain traction and start writing stories and talk about issues and get involved in, you know, really becoming the life and art of being a musician.
Worldwide.
Worldwide,
yeah. So how important has it been being in Chicago to be sort of that hub?
To me, I think it's been fantastic. You got to remember, like with 1934, there were a lot of people coming up from New Orleans to Chicago and making their names there. So that was great for Downbeat. But I think it was also great to be away from the coast where, you know, New York has its thing. The West Coast has its thing. We're kind of in the middle and a little bit more. We'll listen to all sides of this program. We'll listen to all sides of what's happening in jazz. So I think we were a little bit more open-minded by being in the Midwest.
Yeah, because if you're in New York, then it would be labeled a New York magazine.
Very New York-centric.
Yeah.
Very New York.
Or L.A.
I think it was very fortunate that we were in Chicago and still do. You know, I will have New Yorkers that will say, you know, why the heck are you writing about this guy? Why are you writing about that guy? In the early days, why are you writing about Norbert Davis? I go, you come on out, get yourself out of New York City, come on into Chicago, and we'll take you to see Orbert and play, and you'll know that he's as good or better than anything you've got out in the Big Apple.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And you've been very kind to me. I really appreciate the, what was the article? Orbert Inc. a couple years ago. Wow. You captured it. The workaholic that I am.
I loved it. I love that. I love that title. It fit.
Thank you. Yeah. Here I am with the radio show, still trying to practice every day. So in terms of being a fan of the music and now in a position to promote the music, and in a sense, as important it is that the musicians play the music, it's important that the music gets heard, gets distributed, get reviewed, and so on. What's on your playlist? Like, what do you listen to?
People will literally walk by my office and they'll go, what are you doing? Because it could be Louis Armstrong one moment. It could be, and the next song is Ornette Coleman, because it's all the same to me. And then Johnny Cash. It just kind of, for me, it just kind of, and then, you know, James Brown always gets thrown in. You know, there's things like that. But there are days, what time is it? What's the mood? What's that? Yeah. There are times where I go, I need a little bit of avant-garde in my life. There's time where I need it straight and narrow. There's times where I need a good saxophone player. There's times when I need somebody that's totally synthesized.
Wow.
And I just like feel whatever strikes you at that moment.
Sure.
Yeah.
But there was a time through history where Downbeat wasn't just about jazz. It was soul and
James Brown. James Brown's been in the magazine. I can still remember Aaron Cohen, great Chicago writer. But James Brown, when Soul on Top came back out, Louis Belson's Soul on Top, whereas James Brown or with the Louis Belson big band, you know, that was reissued. So we asked James Brown if he would do an interview with us for that.
Right.
He goes, yeah, I want the writer to come down to my house. Aaron Cohn went down to James Brown's house.
Oh, wow.
And literally sat, did the interview there, and we found out that was the first journalist that was ever invited into his home.
Is that right?
And he said it's because I love Downbeat Magazine.
That's
I go,
cool.
James Brown. And, you know, it's like, to me, what gets better than that?
Yeah.
What gets better than that?
That's
but yeah,
incredible.
It's one of these things where, yeah, we've covered all kinds of stuff. In the late 60s, when Rolling Stone started out in 68, there was an identity crisis at Downbeat. So you'd see these split covers of Cannonball Adderley and The Who, and you know, the Beatles would pop up there with something else. And it's like all this stuff going on. What do we do with this? But we've always found our way back to what we do really well, and that's cover the world of jazz.
That's incredible.
And other musics as they influence jazz.
Yeah.
Or other musics as jazz influences them, too.
Wow.
So that's kind of the recipe.
That's very good. But then also, in terms of the fact that when you think of print media kind of going, almost disappearing, I think, you survived the digital age in a sense that getting that magazine is as important as clicking it online.
Yeah, we are surviving the digital age because it's like we don't care how we put it out.
Yeah.
If print magazines go away tomorrow, okay, that's fine. You know, our digital magazines do great business. People
awesome.
Love it.
Yeah,
people love it because it looks fantastic on a website, on a phone. It's a little bit more difficult.
Right.
Our website traffic is through the roof. We have over 200,000 visitors a month that come to downbeat.com for information.
That's awesome.
So I find that it's not either or, it's all.
Yeah.
People are going to take that information just as we do in different ways at different times. But most of our subscribers, they want the print magazine, and then we offer a free digital subscription. We always have. We say, you can get this package if you want it. And to us, that's, if I'm at home, I like to sit down with a nice hard copy magazine and touch it, feel, look through it. You know, if I'm on the road, I like to get an iPad out and look at and read things like that way.
Yeah.
So you just got to deliver things the way that people want it. You know, that's just it.
And what's nice is that your digital isn't just a copy of the print or vice versa.
Yeah, it's
the
kind of, but
there's
some a little bit different. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, this is 90.9 FM WDCB, The Real Deal with Orbert Davis. And I did it again. I didn't do a station ID because I'm just like in this conversation. I see the mics in front of us, but I totally forget that we're on air. Wow. So, Frank, given where we are in education and all the things that you've seen in the development of music on all areas, how important do you think jazz is to the future?
Oh, I think it's massively important. I think, you know, okay, I'm an amateur musician.
Hmm.
I do not call myself a jazz musician. That is a different level of discipline and work and effort that I've not put in. And I don't have the time to put it in because I want to be a good writer.
Right. Sure.
I want to be good at what I do. but because of that, I understand the thing about jazz is you have to be so good at what you do as a musician for a starter. That's a baseline.
Right.
You know, it's really hard to review jazz albums and give them a bad review because the musicianship, by and large, is amazing.
Right.
Then it's what do you do with that musicianship?
Yeah.
So you've got this great baseline where you really have mastered your craft of playing your instrument. And then you've got this other element of working with a group and listening and hearing and working together. And I think that these are skills that people are going to need going forward in a big way, no matter what walk of life you're going to be in the arts, in law, in building a business, in making a magazine, that teamwork, that kind of like give and take, that, hey, did you hear that? I heard it, and I'm going to respond back to it. That communication that's open and there. I think that there's that element of conversation and give and take which creates this group joy, this happiness,
this
fulfillment. Fulfillment's probably the best word for it.
Right.
And I go, if each of us could have that in our lives, in our families, in our careers, in whatever, this would be a lot better world to live in. That's getting philosophical, but you know, people always like, when I started this job, people go, hey, so what's it like to be the curator of dead music? I go, if it's dead, this wake's going to go on for a long, long, long time.
Very good.
But it's not.
No,
it's
no,
like
no.
I go, come on, you know, because I think sometimes that you see audiences and they may be older and they're, you know, it's like with classical. I go, come on, let's go to the Green Mill. Come on, let's go over to Space. They got a jazz show coming tonight. Let's go, you know, let's go to New York City. I'll take you to a couple places. I'll take you to Smalls. We'll show you like a group of young people who are just digging improvised music.
Right.
And it's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Is it going to be popular music again? I'd like to think so.
Yeah.
My world, maybe, but mm-hmm. but you know, I think jazz is stronger. We're going through still a lot of change, and I think you know, but I think it's stronger today than it was 30 years ago when I started. I really do.
That's cool. And one thing I always say, and what I've learned with having the real deal, is that the music never gets old.
No.
You know, even though technology may change. Well, a couple weeks ago, we played Louis Armstrong's Lazy River.
Yeah.
And technology-wise, we hear that it is different because of the advancement we have now. But the spirit that he plays and sings, that is a model that we can follow and emulate forever.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. It's like when you're in New Orleans and you go down to Frenchman Street and you just go from club to club to club, and there's live music, live music, live music, and you've got audience of all, you know, these sizes, shapes, ages, colors, religions, all in one room.
Yeah.
All looking at that stage and respecting that music and all having a good time.
Excellent.
You know, what could be better?
There's nothing better than that. Well, this is The Real Deal with Orbert Davis on 90.9 FM, sitting in with Frank Alkire. Thank you so much, Downbeat Magazine, and may it live forever.
Thank you, Orbert.
Well, thank you, Frank. So, Frank, before we go, take us deep into your favorites. And I know that's difficult because you don't want to be partial, of course. And all the artists are sitting there listening with their ear to the radio saying, hope it's me, hope it's me. Hey, I hope it's me. But no, really. But just something that's interesting that you have to listen to as much as you can.
Yeah. Oh, boy. That is a loaded question.
I'm sorry.
I will say historically, I became a jazz fan because of my mother. Because in the back when I was a kid, she would listen to FM radio. Nobody listened to FM radio in the 1960s. My mom, you know, was one of the people, because that's where the oldies stations were. That's where I learned about, you know, Nat King Cole and Ella Fitzgerald and Sarah Vaughan and Frank Sinatra and on and on and on and on. The great singers. She loved the great singers. So I always tell people that, you know, fathers and sons have baseball. My mother and I have Sinatra.
I love it.
So for me, it's like, you know, the great big bands in Ellington and Basie and all that stuff are just great. But I like the new stuff, though, too. I love Brad Meldow. I love what he does. Yeah. It's like when you start asking me these questions, you know, one of my favorite records of his is Largo. And there's a song on there, the first song on the record, I think, is called When It Rains. And it's just this beautiful, wistful, you know, moving piece. And I can't think of anything I enjoy more on an overcast day like today.
Okay, well, you be the host and take us out.
All right. Yeah. We're here with Orbert Davis on The Real Deal, and this is Brad Meldow's When It Rains. Thank you.
Wow, that was so cool, man. And thanks again to Frank Alkire, the publisher of Downbeat Magazine, for sitting in with us. So the rest of the hour, let's play music that we sort of talked about and people we talked about, and dedicate it all to that incredible publication, Downbeat Magazine. Let's start with Miles Davis. Here's Masculero.
Thank you. Thank you. Hit the blues of whiskey, babe. I will stay drunk all the time. All the time. If the blues was whiskey, I would stay drunk all of the time. Now if I get drunk, babe, I would leave you behind. I would leave you behind. Play it, Mr. Goodman. Play it a long, long time. Oh, play it, Mr. Wilson. Play it a long, long time. Now when Mr. Krupa beat those riffs, he don't let you down. Yeah.
Was the one and only Benny Goodman and his quartet, Vibraphon Blues, a piece that was recorded right around the time that Downbeat magazine started. Before Benny, Dave Brubeck and his quartet, Kathy's Waltz. Here's someone who recently got a 5-star review. The album Monkestra plays John Beasley. Here it is, John Beasley himself with Locomotive. Thank you. course, one of my favorite trumpet players and drummers, Clifford Brown and Max Roach, Stompin' at the Savoy. That was actually my first transcription for Downbeat Magazine's education side. That was a long time ago. Time for a new one. Anyway, this is The Real Deal with Orbert Davis on 90.9 FM WDCB. Well, let's close the hour with someone who is no stranger to Downbeat Magazine, especially recently. Cuban pianist Harold Lopez Nusa with Ferida. Great way to end this hour. Harold Lopez Nusa with Fiera. Man, it's been a fun hour, but hey, there's one more hour to go. So just sit back and relax. I'll be back in a second.